One day we'll count to three and then only do three because it's Trigun and there's only one gun still. I don't get it. Anyway, no, there's more than one gun. Hello, welcome to the Edge of Podcast. This is your host, Craftsdorf, here with my co-host, Mathliz. Say hello, Mathliz.
Vash the Stampede, more like... I can't think of a good alternative that's like the opposite of a stampede. A casual stroll? I don't know.
I mean, the one thing I thought of as you were thinking of is like trash, but it's like, no, Trigun and Vash are not trash, so it's like that doesn't fit. Because that's like the dig you would do on it if you didn't
Vash
like
the trash.
Trash the stampede or something, I don't know. But a trash is casual stroll? I don't know. All right, that's enough of that. We started Trigun Maximum. We read the first half, so we're almost done. I am going to say, so with this, so I was going to do it next episode, but then we might not read Dragon Ball Super, so I will say with this episode, go check out Patreon. Because there should be a poll up. I'm gonna start the poll for the... I haven't done it yet because I only just thought about it, unfortunately. So yeah, go ahead and vote on the next patron pick. Hopefully it's calm and civil last time. Last time it was wild, I'll just say. You know, bribes and fucking...
You know, it was the real Wild West of... I don't know, something about Trigun. I know it was Hitman Reborn, but I don't know what I'm trying
to
do
up,
here.
I forget. Because I've already had a couple of people update their picks. So, you know, if you, so, unfortunately, you know, yeah, it's time. It's time. Go vote. And if you're a patron, and yeah, we'll, that'll be, so, because next time we're going to finish Trigun Maximum, then we're going to read Boruto. Maybe Dragon Ball Super, probably not, because it's, I don't know how many more chapters it's going to be until we get more stuff that isn't related to the current, the superhero stuff. We'll see. I was waiting to see, but there hasn't been a new chapter yet since 101 that I know of. So, yeah. All right, that's it. On to... Thankfully I forget, because sometimes I forget, and then it's at the end of the episode where I'm like, oh, fuck, the patron poll! But yeah, so next time we'll do... Trigun Maximum, and then we'll know what we're reading after Boruto. So yeah. All right, back into Trigun. What did you think about the reading overall? Now that you're getting into like more content than you had from the anime, I guess.
The start of the reading, I think, wasn't really. It definitely took a bit for me to kind of, I guess, click with the direction the manga's going in. Because it's like, there's definitely some overlapping themes and ideas between the two, but obviously the manga has just more material and expands on different things and has a bit of a different, you know, spin on it. So, you know, I didn't think the initial start of it was the strongest, but maybe like, going back and discussing it after getting to the spot we ended on, it might click with me a bit more.
Okay, I gotcha. Yeah, because I'm feeling about the same, I think. It's kind of neat. I kind of expect that talking about it will make me like it more, but, you know, not yet on the train with Trigun, but it is what it is. So, yeah, getting right back into it. People are angry about Vash again because he's, you know, a menace. And then they do kind of a imposter thing where I do like the reveal when the bartender or inn owner, I forget who, yeah, he takes off his coat and it's like, oh, fuck, it's Vash. But it's, you know, it's because it definitely feels like it's a, you know, obviously they move magazines. So it's like being accessible to someone who has not read the original basically, so which is kind of neat with this sort of soft reboot, sort of explaining, not really reboot, but just, you know, re-explaining and re-establishing everything.
This chapter definitely, because this would have also been in the anime, so I like vaguely remembered some of these details, but I feel like it's definitely, you know, because that's just kind of like a midpoint in the anime, or maybe a little in the back half. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, I like the metatextual kind of aspect of it, where, you know, reintroducing the characters, and it's like, it's Vash, but it's like he's in disguise. And I just thought that mm-hmm. was interesting from like a structural level.
Yeah. Obviously, I'm a One Piece guy, so it's hard for me to avoid thinking about One Piece, but like, I did think it, because one, I just noticed Nicholas D. Wolfwood, and it's like, the legendary Will of D. And the other is just, you know, all, there's it's structured and handled very differently, but after the time skip in one, a 2-year time skip in One Piece, there's also a fake group of Straw Hats running around. Mm-hmm. And Luffy's like first meets them in disguise and they don't recognize him. So just like, I don't know, just similar tropes. I didn't think about that while reading it, but I did think about it now. Just little things I noticed. Honestly, it's kind of interesting thinking about this manga and its messaging in comparison to like, say, you know, Naruto, where, because I feel like they both talk about like these sort of like never-ending conflicts, but the difference is that, you know, obviously Try Again is about like, well, oh, conflict will totally end the, you know, or killing will totally end the conflict, right? Like, because, you know, by keeping these people alive,
mm-hmm.
Wolfwood blames Vash, excuse me. Where obviously Naruto, the cycle of hatred happens because of death and murder. So it's basically like, if you look at them together, it's more like, you know, conflict just never ends with humanity in general. But that's very much like, I don't know, because like Vash is just his determination and his will to just never give up on his ideals, no matter what, is pretty cool. So, yeah, I don't know what kind of broad point I was making there. It was just something I was thinking about during the reading, just because, like, you know, there's a lot of testing Vash and challenging him.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And we do find out later that, like, Wolfwood is, he's still working with knives in the sense that he's, like, I don't know, he's kind of, like, on both sides in a sense, where it's like he's, you know, traveling with Vash, and, you know, like there's a level at which I think he's, you know, thinking of him and you know, but and oh, well, he's also challenging him and bringing him to knives. So
mm-hmm.
Yeah, and god, when he gets the haircut after the first couple in the second chapter, and he's got all the black on his hair, and I was like, oh, design change. And then mm-hmm. later it's like, oh, wait, no, that's meaningful. Fuck. Because he's losing his power as a plant. So, yep. Wait, then we get reintroduced to Meryl and Millie, dealing with an insurance agent who's corrupt as shit. I love the spread where Millie comes in with her giant gun. She has the best faces. She's just so happy.
I feel like the the whole thing with like Vash kind of being found by this other character and like, you know, kind of brought back to
oh yeah yeah like, it's kind of glossed over that,
like brought back to health by this other person, and then like we kind of just move on from that character pretty quickly. That I don't know, I feel like that could have resonated with me more. And I don't remember how the anime does it, if it gives it any more time. I doubt it does, but...
Mm-hmm. No, I get what you...
Like, I do think it's interesting, I guess, in the sense that, like, Vash, you know, the, like, oh, like, you said that I saved you, but you were the one who saved me kind of deal. I guess it kind of ties in with Vash's whole, like, every person can... like have like a meaningful impact. I don't know, but it just feels like it kind of glosses by pretty quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's definitely some stuff I like later. Like, it's actually funny they mentioned that, oh yeah, this small minor character from early on doesn't leave much of an impact, but like speaking on just an emotional level, I think like during the fight with the puppet guy, there's a level at which like these characters, like the, I don't know, so the fact that these characters are already dead and they're still haunting Vash sort of affected me more, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a little later on, so
oh yeah, and when I saw like the redesign for some of the characters, like, you know, it is interesting that like obviously with Vash it kind of serves a different purpose as well, but like Meryl coming back with like longer hair, you know, just really selling the time skip and like, but you know, like once she gets back into the thick of things, she, you know, cuts her hair again and is back. I just remember seeing the redesign and I'm like, no, I liked the old design.
Bring it, take it back. no, that reminds me. I think I've said this before, but in one of the episodes of Naoki Urasawa's Mon Ben, he like changed the design of one of his characters a little bit and he got a letter that was like, how dare you do that? And he's like, it's my character though.
Yeah.
So it's just, I thought it was funny. But then we get the one with the two feuding families, where, I don't know, the way that they, like, really push Vash's ideals, because you have the father who's literally just, like, you know, he's going to kill the person who killed his daughter and fucking violated her and, you know, a bunch of all that. But then, like, I don't know, I like the way, because, like, what ends up happening a lot of the time is that, like, Vash still wants to stop, but, like, he does reach out his hand, he tries to stop the murder, but ultimately, he's not able to pull the trigger because the person is calling for his father. And, you know, so, I don't know. Did you have any thoughts or feelings on that or on the conflict in general, rather?
Wait, which part of the conflict?
This is the feud with the two, there was the dad killing this, the guy who killed his daughter or wanting to shoot him, rather. Sorry.
I feel like I don't have much more to say other than, like, it's interesting, like, just seeing Vash, like, I feel like in this reading in particular, he's put in a lot of positions where, I think there's even, like, an interaction with Wolfwood at one point where he's like, thank you for, like, putting up with my selfishness or something to that effect of just, like, you know, Vash getting by on someone else, like, doing the killing for him, kind of, even if it's, like, not his ideal outcome, he's still, like, I don't know, that's kind of here, too. I feel like I don't have much more to say on it than it's interesting at the moment.
Yeah, okay.
I guess just seeing, like, a different, angle on it.
But yeah, then we get back to the gung-ho guns. Gung-ho guns, words. They do be killing. Like, I just slipped through the scene where Mid-Valley and Gauntlet kill just some guys in the desert. And we get Legato, who I don't remember how it happened. I just remember knives pushing him out of the way. I don't remember that doing something that would like cripple him, basically, to the point that he can't move. Basically, though, I do like it's definitely not supposed to be funny, but the way he's still eating after, like, he's just like pushed himself out of his like coffin to eat food with it only his mouth is very, like, I don't know, striking, I guess.
I feel like I might be behind you. What chapter are you on right now?
I'm on chapter chapter two. Sorry, you catch up and see if you have anything to say. I've just been kind of trudging along. Sorry. I do that.
Okay, yeah, I was a few chapters behind.
No, I was going ahead pretty quick. All good. You all caught up then?
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, Knives proclaims his motive is to not to destroy Vash, but to make him suffer, basically. Just to, you know, continue to challenge him and his idealism and hope for humanity. Then we get the first samurai. I don't remember if I had that much to say about this fight.
Yeah, I mean, maybe there's some sort of significance to, like, the gun versus the sword kind of conflict.
Well, it is very, I don't know, because I think Yojimbo, the Akira Kurosawa film, kind of had it from where the main character is a samurai. And his antagonist in the movie is a guy who uses a pistol. So it's definitely like movie was even remade into a Western film. What was it called? Bruce Willis, Fistful of Dollars, I think. Where it's basically the same premise, but I hope I'm not mixing things up, but I think they even credit Yojimbo and the screenplay at the start of the movie. You know, so it's just kind of funny.
That just kind of made me think
it's more just Western, connecting the samurai to the Western in a sense. What were you going to say?
Well, I just kind of was reminded of, I'm pretty sure in Cowboy Bebop, Vicious, I think, also has a sword, and Spike of a gun. It's been a bit since I've watched Bebop.
I think you're correct. No, because especially like there's the fucking iconic part in their final fight where they end up with each other's weapon, and then they just return it so they can continue the fight, even though like in theory it would be smarter to just like disarm their opponent, but they're like, no, we're fighting, we're gonna keep going. So and it's also a space western kind of, or sci-fi western kind of deal, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know the exact timeline, but you know, it's certainly just an observation and connecting to other things, but I guess like the samurai is unable to or he just, you know, never gives up on his bloodlust, so Wolfwood kills him. I do have a thought on their like that sort of dynamic with Wolfwood and Vash, but I'll bring it up later when we get to that point. But Vash, you know, is, or Wolfwood calls him a hypocrite, but there's also the way that like you know, Vash says that, you know, Wolfwood gives up easily, and he sort of flips Wolfwood's words back on him, which I like, where, you know, because obviously Wolfwood says like, oh, you're not really smiling, but you know, Vash says like, well, you're the one forcing yourself to be a devil, which, you know, obviously he's Chapel, he's, you know, meant to make us think of like Christianity, but he's doing evil, you know, bad things for the sake of Vash in a sense. Because he would suffer less if he didn't put all of this like self-imposed, you know, his ideals of not killing people on him, but you know, he's still words are hard. Anything else to say before we get back to
Well, I guess the stuff with Wolfwood also, there was a line in like the fourth chapter of Maximum where, you know, Wolfwood calling out Vash, like, you can't not make a choice. Like, we're different from God. And like, we're not omnipotent. Our only alternative is to become demons. So like, I feel like, you know, that was just another thing that, with Wolfwood that I thought was interesting. 'Cause he's definitely like, he's going in a different direction than what the anime does, for sure. And not that I remember what he does in the anime super well, like outside of how his character concludes in that. But I'm definitely interested, especially with some of the stuff that got set up with him later on in this reading.
Okay. There's another little conflict with the fucking, I don't know how to describe him, weird monstrous guy, after a million men get to a town, and Vash is just kind of dead, like, he just can't do anything. Though they do comment on how, like, because I think, like, as he heals, one of the bullets comes out of his body, so he kind of, you know, as a plant, he has some kind of regenerative capabilities, but Wolfwood comes to the rescue after, you know, another guy helps out the blonde-haired guy. Who isn't Vash? I was about to say, wait, hold on. Or light-haired, I guess.
That one bit where Vash, like things start going to hell, and Vash just, like, walks through, and he's, like, still bleeding out, but he's like, no, I'll help. I can help. His face is just, like, just dried out and like, withered. I don't know if that's the word.
No, I think that sounds accurate.
This one's kind of a weird chapter because it's definitely more kind of, it feels more like comedic relief and like a tone balancer.
Palette cleanser.
Yeah. But it's, it sure happens.
This is what I was talking about earlier, where they find another plant. And they go in, and Vash keeps getting flashes of July before it was destroyed through the puppets. And, it all being, you know, a lie, his show, basically. And, like, the way it kind of works into the fight is really neat. Where, honestly, this might be my favorite fight in the series so far. just because, like, I like how, like, Vash, on some level, knows they're puppets, but then, you know, he, you know, so he's not able to shoot them because they look like human.
Yeah.
And then he ends up shooting an actual person when he does. So
yeah.
Ah, God, like, it's just, it's such an interesting, just the way he uses, like, things that are shaped like humans to specifically fuck with Vash, and it was really interesting, and I liked it. And some of the designs, like, I'm looking at this one fucking puppet centipede thing, and it's like, Jesus Christ. And meanwhile, Wolfwood fights the Nine Lives, who's, like, literally nine people in a suit. which is funny when you think of it like that. But I was, yeah, what did you, how did you feel about these two fights?
I feel like this was, like, a fight where I really kind of struggled to follow the action in the art.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of just had to take it on a more, like, not symbolic level, what's the word? Like, I didn't feel like I could follow the action beat for beat, so I was kind of just, like, yes, this is a fight happening, and kind of just, I don't know. This one, it didn't, I think there were things in it that hit for me, for sure, but it was kind of like it wasn't one of the stronger conflicts for me, I think.
Okay. Fair enough. At least I didn't get much out of the Wolfwood versus the Nine Lives, but, you know, I like with the Emilio, the way Vash sort of, like, you know, he sealed off his memory, so, you know, he was hurting in his own ways, but he kind of hid from that, where, like, as with Isabel, the pup, you know, the, I guess the implication is that, you know, he, or hold on, there's, like, a flashback, they don't directly state it, but I don't fully remember it either, but, oh yeah, it was a girl that he, Vash, you know, was talking to him, and you should tell her your feelings, but then I guess they all died, and so he too, oh yeah, because of the July incident, but he forgot because he's literally, like, masquerading their forms, and, you know, but he's forgotten his own grief about the incident, where Vash, hasn't forgotten, and he, you know, he lives the way he does because he doesn't want, you know, and he won't forget it, where Emilio did run away, he didn't have that resolve or determination, so even though he's weaponizing it against Vash, but he himself is hurt by the same thing, if that makes sense. So yeah. And the way the fight technically ends with Millie and Meryl just dropping in, they just do that.
Yeah.
I
do like how there's sort of a thread with Wolfwood and Millie in this reading, where, like, I mean, it's there with Meryl too, to some extent, like, just the dropping in and, like, you know, kind of making the save or coming into, like, it happens with Millie and Wolfwood, where he's like, no, go back, like, you shouldn't be involved in this, and then she shows up to kind of save the day, or, you know, buy him a moment of opportunity, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's neat. It's cool to see those characters hanging out, doing stuff.
Yeah.
Especially because, like, in the first stretch, like, you know, Vash only refers to them by name at the very end because they're so, like, there's that barrier kept up that they're not getting the full picture and they're kind of just being off on the sidelines for the most part. So them kind of factoring in a little more in places, I think, is neat.
Yeah. And so we got to the part that I was thinking about earlier, because when they're on the hospital beds, and I just thought, so what do you take, did you think about, or maybe if you have anything related idea-wise from the anime, but just, like, the way Vash thanks Wolfwood for, you know, he's like, he even says, because you spilled blood, you saved all these people's lives, right? So, which is just an interesting way where it's like, you know, because obviously he tries to protect, I don't know, it's just interesting to think about, because Vash not only refuses to kill, but he also protects other people's lives and stops them from killing.
Mm-hmm.
But then in this instance, you have him thanking Wolfwood for killing people because it saved more people. Which is, it's like, it feels a little contradictory, but not necessarily in a bad way, I guess.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Yeah, I was wondering what you thought about it.
Well, that's one thing I do like about this reading is it really leans into the idea that, like, Vash is kind of a walking contradiction in certain ways. But, like, you know, he's so steadfast to his, like, I will not kill mentality because it's like he just doesn't really know what else to do. And the way that gets explored more in, like, the later stretch of this reading. But just... yeah, that's kind of a cool little moment where it's like he acknowledges that, you know, his actions might not always be the, like, most, I don't know, efficient, or, like, might not be the right course of action, but it's kind of all he knows how to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, because I don't, and it's just, it also reminded me of Plunderer, which I mentioned last time, because it also had similar an angle of not killing. Mm-hmm. But there was instances of, like, characters sort of taking that burden for the others so that, like, they don't have to kill, so they kill instead. So it just reminded me of that. But yeah, like you said, it is like, yeah, it's Vash being contradictory, because obviously, like, you know, he doesn't want people to die because, you know, he treasures what Rem valued and he doesn't want people to die.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, though, another angle I was thinking about it is because like, I think they talk about how, or I think it's Wolfwood who mentions that, like, his determination is completely inhuman, basically, or something to that, or his resilience is more than a normal human, which is because, like, ultimately Vash is, you know, like, because Vash and Knives are these, you know, they're both non-humans, and they both have these conflicting ideals where, you know, Knives has no faith in humanity,
mm-hmm.
Which, as we come to find out why, where Vash still wants to keep his, you know, keep that faith in humanity. So, like, I kind of, well, because I think, I don't know what, I'm just wondering if, like, Wolfwood will sort of take on Vash's same ideals, like, he'll be, after trying to change Vash because what he thinks is right. Because, you know, if he decides, like, no, I'm not going to kill anymore, and I'm going to... just a way to, like, have a human not, you know, come to change, come to accept Vash's ideals, and be the better part of humanity that he sees. Because, mm-hmm. like, they talk a lot about how it's like, oh, you know, humanity is bad, things are only getting worse, right? So it was just a possible way for the story to go, I was thinking about, just because, like, you know, it would show that, you know, Vash is right, and that... because even though he's already killed, so is Vash, right? Like, they can both overcome... themselves, basically, and make that vow, but I don't know, I was just thinking about it, but and then we sort of see, I guess, the what can happen when because, like, there's the remaining two of the nine, and a bunch of people go in to kill them because it's like, you know, they're out of vengeance, like, and they end up continuing the cycle of violence because the two of them get free and they hurt more people, so it's just like, yep, that's, you know, it's desire for violence causes more violence, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is gonna be a short reading, you're right, because we're already about halfway through, so
I feel like the first it's not that I didn't find the reading interesting, it's just, like, especially in the first half of the reading, I'm just not exactly sure what to take from it. The second half of the reading, though, I feel like, I guess how I would just sum this up compared to, like, what I'm familiar with in the anime is that, like, this, I feel like, does a lot more for Knives than the anime really has time to,
mm-hmm.
just based on its structure. But I can't, you know, I can't really talk about that until we get to the Knives stuff.
Yeah, I definitely think it's a kind of story where it makes sense, like... the more of the ending you have in mind, because it's like, because then you know where the conflict is going, and you can look at everything in the context of the full conflict, where instead it's, or like right now we have bits and pieces, and we know at least with, you know, Vash's determination, and that, like, that's not going to change, but we don't know how it's ultimately going to resolve, especially with the middle point, like, because it's like, you know, it's one of those instances where it's like, it feels like it's going toward an ending, but it's not, it doesn't at all. It's like, oh, fuck. So, yeah. But anyway, they have the old, the ship, the Ark that brought humanity here. And it's sending messages back to Earth so that they can get rescued. But of course, Knives doesn't, he's not cool with that. He wants humanity all gone. So he pulls out his knife, he transforms, and,
yeah. Yeah, that one little... couple bubbles of dialogue of like, you expect me to put up with even more of you?
Yep, just the god. And then the chapter after that, we kind of get a bit of Mid Valley's perspective, where it turns out he would have like, I guess like the way I saw it is that he's like, knives is kind of like an inescapable fate to him.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, because he's like, maybe I can kill him. And then it's like, nope, everyone around him dies, but not him.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he's just like, he works with knives, not because he wants to, but because he sees no other choice. Like,
yeah.
You know, if the death of humanity is inevitable, you know, then like, you know, why not ride out the wave a lot with the, you know, possibly live a little longer. Right. So,
mm-hmm.
And also just because knives chose not to kill him. Right. So,
Yeah, there is that line about, like, when Knives shows up to their concert or whatever, that's like, you killed the entire audience to reach a single target. I like your style. So I guess there being some level of, like, connection between them there. Although, I think Mid-Valley is definitely a character I could appreciate more. I remember from the anime just really, like... One thing I like about Trigun is it has a lot of, like, really, like, interesting and, like, disturbing powers, like, between Knives being able to, like, manipulate the muscles in someone's body, and then, like, this guy can just play an instrument and kill people with sound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, like, that's a very, like, surface level, just, you know, it's just cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then we get back. We get that like you know, that just, I don't know, Knives just looking like bored, honestly, and just like,
mm-hmm.
you know, this is. And then it cuts to Vash and Wolfwood dying in the desert.
Mm-hmm.
just pure whiplash. And you get Meryl and Millie driving by, and Meryl's fucking pissed and enjoying water. just get fucked, idiots. Then they take out a piece of shit who's abducting women. For his to be his wives. I forget if there was anything else to like tie it to, but there was the line from you know, with Meryl, where,
mm-hmm.
You know, because she's given a gun, and you know, oh, it's like, it's small, but its power is sufficient. So it's about, you know, just having the force to do what you need to do, instead of like, because, you know, she does use a smaller gun, where Millie uses a giant gun. but I don't know, mm-hmm. just an interesting line that I was thinking about, but couldn't tie it to majorly to anything.
Yeah, I think. The stuff, I also really liked that sort of thread with Meryl in this reading, because I feel like it connects her to Vash really well. More in particular later when she talks about, because like the guy who gives her the gun says that, like, you know, if anything, the weak should have it because it's like an equalizer. But then she has kind of a moment later where she reflects on like her first time killing a person and how, like, you know, it's just something that stuck with her and, like, terrified her, or something to that effect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I think in some way, like, that kind of connects her on some level to, like, Vash's struggle and, like, why he's, like, how I guess she could sort of connect with his insistence on not killing someone.
Mm-hmm. Right. Oh god, I scrolled forward a little bit, and you have the guns talking to each other, and then there's the chapter cliffhanger where Meryl gets blown away, appears, and I just, you know, remember my reaction being like, oh, you fucking better not. She was just kidnapped, but she didn't get killed, so, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Wolf and, Wolfwood and Bash get attacked by Zazzy the Beast, which is not, I don't know, I don't try to remember what parts I got out of these, because there's a few fights here. But yeah. Oh, that's right. It was Gauntlet's being like a monster and protecting the girl. Now I remember. But because, yeah, he fought that, or I guess the fights were, they weren't really directly one-on-ones necessarily. Because there's a lot of moving parts. Oh yeah, I guess one thing I thought about was how Gauntlet, he talks about how he's just a bullet and he's no longer human, but I don't know, it kind of reminds me of the Naruto Tobi thing where it's like, oh, I'm just a tool, I'm just a weapon. But it's like, no, the reason you're like that is because of you have human reasons and grief motivating your actions, right? So trying to remember if I got anything out of the Wolfwood versus a Mid-Valley fight.
I wonder if there's something maybe that I'm just kind of realizing how you know, Vash and Knives are described, you know, like they're plants, they're supposed to be like self-reliant, but you know, like Knives is like that, but Vash is very much like tries to, you know, like Vash doesn't want to be alone. Vash, you know, associates with humans and like, I don't know. I'm not.
No, that's a good point. Well, because I could, in a way, because what you were making think about with Vash is because like, you know, if he doesn't want anyone to get hurt when he keeps attracting trouble, then the smartest thing for him to do would just be to live in the desert alone, right? Like he's a plant. He's a source of life, so he could be self-sufficient. But instead, he chooses to be among people because he needs that connection. He wants to be around humanity. Where Knives, in a similar fashion, like he could work alone, but he still gathered allies around him who agree with his ideals, or at least, you know, to the point that they're willing to work for him, right? So, because you know, he is, but I guess like I feel like that's less true at the end of the reading, because where Knives is more gone off on his own, I feel. But I didn't think about how, Knives does have allies who, you know, even though in theory he doesn't need them necessarily. So, yeah, hadn't thought about that. Oh, yeah, and they highlight Mid-Valley's insane talent to affect the air and every single noise in the area. I might be ahead of you. I'm towards the end of the fight.
Well, yeah, this one is like they kind of get into some scuffles, but then the fights like stop and like the antagonists reconvene and then the fights start up again.
Yeah.
I think this is just something like by nature of being a manga where, I mean, I might just not have the best reading comprehension either. Just like not really sure how these like places connect. And like, so when a character just kind of leaves a fight and goes to this other place, I'm just sort of, like, sometimes I don't make the connection in my head of, like, what exactly was the chain of events.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, because, I guess I didn't think about the geography of the place or the layouts and stuff, because, like, yeah, I've definitely read series where, like, I think Hunter x Hunter or, like, One Piece are good examples where it's, like, they fight in a big single area, like the Chimera, the palace invasion of Hunter x Hunter, right, where it's, like, they go into it in a level of detail where you can reasonably, I mean, it's also so long, so it's not really quite an even comparison, right? Mm-hmm. Where in this case, like, it's a big place with multiple fights going on, but yeah, they don't spend a huge amount of time there, all the things considered, even though it is a pretty long conflict. So, but yeah, Knives captures Vash, and they get some readings off of him, and he triggers his gun again. Or no, never mind, that's a flashback, my bad. His gun is pulled out, though, because he's mentally being brought back to then.
Oh, yeah, I forget what exactly, like, tripped Vash's memory that, like, he, I guess, had been kind of repressing some, part of it, I think, was also, like, when, I think it was when the July thing happened that, like, some, like, because he had been asked, like, do you remember this time? But I don't remember what exactly it was that, like, awoke his memory of that here.
Yeah, I'm looking back through it, but
but, yeah, I mean, it is just, you know, he's been through all this hardship. And, yeah, like, him being kind of a walking contradiction in ways that it's, like, he's been through all this, like, suffering, but he still has to try and save people. So it's like, no matter how many scars he has or how much pain he's in, he just, like, he is, like, compelled to keep going.
Mm-hmm. And I did misremember the order of information, because with the Emilio fight, we do, like, they're more similar than I remembered when I was talking about it, basically, because, you know, they had both been burying a part of their pasts, but with Emilio, it was dragged out then, and he sort of broke down, and here it's being dragged out of Ash, so, you know, not so different in the end, I suppose, or at least at that, you know, comparing from this reading. So yeah, but yeah, Legato comes in while Wolfwood and Midval I guess they're talking about, you know, Bash and Knives potentially destroying each other and sort of, you know, what they're gonna do regarding that. But before that goes too far, Legato comes in and has Midvalley killed.
Yeah, I guess before then was also kind of that moment I mentioned with Millie where, like, Wolfwood couldn't see for a bit. And, you know, even though Wolfwood, knocked Millie out and was like, you know, someone take care of her, don't let her get involved in this, she still, like, found a way to, you know, be there and, like, help him get the advantage. So, yeah, I'm not exactly sure how that would tie into Wolfwood's character necessarily, but it's neat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway, they end up in a big standoff, and it ends up getting triggered with Vash and Meryl, and a bunch of bullets go off.
Oh, there's also an interaction with is this a flashback? I think I'm still behind you.
Sorry. Go ahead. I'm way ahead. So catch up. Sorry.
I think this might have been the. I think.
You good?
What chapter are you on?
Oh, sorry. I'm on volume 5, chapter 5. Chapter. Hold on.
Three-ish. The way that this manga, I hate how the volumes reset the chapter count every time. okay, I'm only.
I just
on
realized you're on manga. You're using a different website, so you have them actually numbered properly.
Yeah, no, I'm on chapter 30. I think you were talking about this flashback. I just remember finding it interesting that. Oh yeah, this really is. Going into, like, the Vash being a walking contradiction, just, you know, Knives throwing humanity's, like, brutality back in his face. Like, look at all those. But, like, it also, I think, puts his character into a more, like, I don't know, ironically, like, a more human perspective because, like, you know, his motivations make a little more sense, even if it's, like, Jesus Christ, dude. But, like, you know, when he encountered Vash after being revived and just was, like, you know, taken aback by all the scars on Vash's body and just, you know, he points out, like, how many times have you been betrayed? How many times have you been lied to? Been treated as something other than human? And just, like, also highlighting, like, both how much he cares for Vash, or at least his idea of Vash. And, like, his idea of the two of them as, like, these, you know, superior, like, beings, like, yeah. We don't have the cruelty of the human race, or something to that effect.
Well, yeah, because he sees humans as lesser beings, so Vash is the only one that he could potentially have it as an equal, you know, because I guess the other plants aren't really sapient in the same, or at least, you know, he's willing to drain them of their life, at least, so he doesn't seem to care about that. He only cares about Vash, really.
Mm.
So having Vash, you know, in line with him means he wouldn't be alone anymore, but Vash refuses him because Vash does see the humans as beings, so yeah.
But it also, yeah, it highlights just, okay, maybe that wasn't a flashback, but it highlights how just, like, everything that Vash has to struggle against, like, yes, he has been betrayed and, you know, all of those things. Like, we've seen him cast out of towns because, oh, you're a humanoid typhoon, you know, you're a walking disaster, you're not human. And so, like, yeah, and, like, how much he has to kind of maybe even fight against his emotions to some extent to not succumb to that cruelty because of, like, his past with Rem, and just really highlighting, like, how much of a just struggle daily existence is for Vash. in this yeah. in this like post-apocalyptic kind of world.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah. I'm still a little ahead of you, but I like the line where it's like, you know, Vash's determination is larger than the regret that he carries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, good line.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you know, the stuff with kind of the, what's it called? Is it like a standoff where like everyone's got a gun yes. pointed at each other?
Yeah.
And just the way that Legato's powers kind of factor into it, where like Mid-Valley tries to go after him, but then he manipulates the other guy to shoot him. And then I think later he manipulates Mid-Valley's corpse to like set something else up. And it's just like...
Yeah, no, he's got an interesting ability, for sure.
Yeah, and then there's Meryl being the one to kind of set the standoff in motion.
That's what it looks like, yeah.
Yeah, and like Vash is kind of being overtaken by his power, it seems, but he's still able to protect Meryl from within that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then after that we get his sort of mental escape where he's just, you know, overcoming his, not, you know, still bearing his regret, but he's definitely, like, he just goes into his mind and thinking about his memories that he was stealing away and ultimately, you know, regretting it, but still bearing that regret and just, you know, like, the threat of, like, oh, those lives that I extinguished, they were so kind. But, you know, by recognizing what he's done, basically, and not running, you know, and not forgetting it, he does, you know, he's able to pull his powers back in check.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get Alendria, the Crimson Nail, the strongest of the gung-ho guns. Gender character. Time to talk for 20. No, I don't. Maybe next time we'll have something to say about it, but I feel like there wasn't quite there wasn't much with the him? I don't know. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I didn't really have any opinions on this character so far.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I guess the conflict's done for now. Alendria basically puts a stop to it, and so they're able to Knives, of course, explains, you know, his goal to make Vash suffer. That's not Knives, that's Gauntlet, where it's like, you know,
mm-hmm.
He, you know, because he was made to suffer for Vash, so he's like, you know what, yeah, you can live, I'll let you suffer, and he, before he dies, so,
mm-hmm.
yeah, Vash and Wolfwood, you know, Vash sets up some graves and prays, Wolfwood comments on how, you know, like, him not dealing with the enemies isn't going to solve anything, but they just, you know, that's sort of where they end off, and the conflict's over.
Mm-hmm.
For now. Obviously, the reading's not over. But yeah, Vash is seeing a gunsmith, some more the yin-yang guys come through.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, there's that, the line with Meryl that I mentioned earlier, where it kind of calls back to the guy, you know, giving her the gun and, you know, like, women most of all should make use of them because it'll, like, level the playing field. And then Meryl reflects on, like, yeah, the power I gained was death at my fingertips. It was nothing but terror. And just, like, I don't know if I'm doing a great job at, like, why I feel like that connects to Vash, but I don't know. I think she's a good character.
Yeah, I can't think of any connections to Vash either right now, so...
I do also, like, on a very surface level, appreciate the little interaction with Murdoch, the, like, sheriff guy, that, like, Vash is shooting the target, and he's like, are you that, like, you're that poor of a shot that you just missed... And then, you know, he's like, dick measuring contest. He's like, yeah, look at me. I can obliterate this thing. And then later he's like, oh, wait, he's actually very accurate and does that on purpose.
Right. But yeah, then we get a little Wolfwood flashback where he was going to try and kill Knives, but because I think this is the first mention of the Eye of Michael, maybe, and, you know, because, but, you know, Knives just tells him to keep doing as he was doing.
One thing I did also mention in that, or I did notice in that last chapter, I guess, like, Meryl coming from her own personal experiences and of, like, taking a life that she realizes that, like, oh, when Vash got his memories back, like, is he still going to be able to pull the trigger? Because she's, like, substituting her own pain and experience in there. But, I mean, obviously, Vash continues on.
Yes. And then after that flashback, you have Wolfwood considering killing Vash to just try and end half of the conflict. But then right after that, he ends up protecting Vash from the other attackers that come in. And, you know, they do have their mutual desire to keep people safe. And the different, I like the, you know, his different contrast when it's like, you know, him looking at Vash's back versus when he turns his back and like, they're fighting side by side or back to back rather. Oh, the introduction of Double Fang and Trip of Death, where it's like, oh shit, there they are, these guys, and they bust through a fucking fortress and whatever. And it turns out, no, they weren't Double Fang and Trip of Death. It was these other guys who just completely destroyed them easily.
Yeah.
Oh, and Trip of Death has a big old cross gun on his back like Wolfwood. I did not go back to the original series to see how many of the designs of the guns, were they all the same?
Oh,
were they all the
yeah.
characters that we recognized, or did some of them change? Because obviously, I think, you know, two comparable examples are, like, the first silhouettes of the Seven Warlords of the Sea in One Piece, where it's, like, these guys don't look like anything of the, like, the Seven Warlords of the Sea. Mm-hmm. And then the Akatsuki in Naruto before the time skip, where it's, like, we kind of see them, and it's, like, well, some of these guys kind of look like characters we come to know. A lot of these guys don't, so just, you know, normal, but I did not go back to double check with Trigun.
Well, the spread I'm seeing only has 8 characters, if you include Wolfwood.
Oh, okay, gotcha. So you did go, you had it on hand? Nice.
Yeah, no, I was gonna pull it up, and then I'm like, wait, I think I took that. And it's like, you know, Mid-Valley, the Puppet Master's there, the samurai is there, Zazie, okay. The beast is there, the gauntlet.
Oh, okay, so they do got a bunch of them. Nice, nice. But yeah, Knives goes into the ship and finds another plant, which he drains the life of.
Oh, yeah, I didn't properly connect that this is the guy who's in the flashback until just now.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Because he did mention, like, oh, that kid, yeah. Because I was thinking about that, I was like, wait, no, we're not in the flashback yet.
No, but this is the other guy who talked to Rem and was like, yeah, we can let them live.
Yes. Yep, and then they comment on the hair darkening before we go back to Vash, and he's in a church, but, you know, he can't, you know, no one can forgive him, and he can't forgive himself for his sins, so, you know, just a cross he has to bear, so to speak, even though it's Wolfwood bearing the cross. Hold on. I guess you could say that by killing people for Vash, he is bearing Vash's cross in a way. So, yeah, then we get another another sort of Vash bounce back conflict, but this one, you know, it ends with them throwing rocks at him, and he's got blood on the side of his face, and he's like, I don't, how am I supposed, like, should I, like, because he's smiling, and it's like, well, how am I supposed to look? I don't even know anymore. And it's like, ah.
Yeah, it's like he even, like, going to the church and, like, talking about, like, you know, there's even a little visual comparing him, or in dialogue, too, to, like, you know, how, like, Jesus was crucified and, like, stuff about bearing the sins, and Vash is just like, you know, there can't be any release from that. Like, I can't forgive myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if there's any, because I'm about to get into the flashback, so if there's anything else you want to say before we get there that I might maybe missed.
I mean, I think you hit on the other, like, noteworthy line of just, Well, yeah, and also, like, the fact that he uses his power to, you know, protect himself, and that mm-hmm. gets him, like, ostracized, like you said, with people throwing the rocks, and that he just is, like, you know, he smiles because he doesn't know what else to do. It's just a very, like, especially after hearing what Knives, you know, basically called him out for, that, like, how many times have you been betrayed or humiliated or cast out?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But anyway, then we get the flashback where Rem is raising Vash and Knives. They're learning about, you know, humanity. And some people come out of the pods due to a... because there was an accident, so the systems automatically woke up the crew, but they're not supposed to know about Vash and Knives. But they do find out, and, yeah, the guy... they care about Rem, and they're, you know, they're capable of love, so it's like, this is, they're, you know, you're fine, you can exist.
Mm-hmm.
Then if there's also go on, yes.
Well, there was also a line from Rem where I forget if it was Vash or Knives just said, like, you seem kind of awkward, and she's like, well, I'm not really sure what expression I should have on my face, and, you know, just connecting that with Vash, where it's like, I don't really know what else to do, so I guess I'll smile and try and, like, paint a positive color on the world.
You're right. I didn't think about that, actually. But yeah, they find out about Tesla, who is their big sister, who was basically created and then tortured and experimented on by humanity, which, you know, which definitely explains Knives' whole motivation a bit more, where it's like, oh yeah, humanity can do something so cruel, then, you know, they shouldn't be allowed to exist.
Yeah, kind of like that. Pursuit of knowledge, but in the same way that, like, humans will, like scientists have performed, like, experiments on animals and stuff, and it's like, well, that's still life, and it's still, like, you know, not really, like, here, obviously, you know, for Vash and Knives, it's like, there is no consideration really made to their, like, personhood, maybe? I don't know.
Oh, excuse me. Yeah. Well, I was gonna just realize. What's his name? Sensui. From Yu Hakusho. I didn't think about it while reading, but I just remembered the, you know, similar character who dislikes humanity. After seeing something like horrible and that they can't get over, basically, just here's humanity at its worst, so to speak. But I also like how we learn a bit more about Rem, because, you know, she was involved in that experiment. Like, she, like Vash, has this sin that she committed, and she's trying to live beyond. Like, she talks about her dream, where she just envisions, you know, herself on the train and with a ticket to that she could go anywhere. And that's sort of like, you know, her blank check for the future that she was talking about in the original. Like, she has to believe that, because otherwise, like, she'd struggle to go on. And of course, like, instilling that within Vash, so that, you know, he has something, you know, a way to live when he ends up committing something that he can't forgive himself for, basically. So, yeah. And of course, Knives, he seems to faint and forget everything, but no, he remembered, and then he's sort of like, almost like revels in it, like he just continues rewatching the experiments until it basically, you know, driving it in for him, and then you know, he ends up fucking up with the ship and kickstarting this conflict.
I also like the interaction with Rem and Vash, where Vash basically tries to kill her, and then it's only in that moment that he realizes that, like, that's not, you know, because, like, Rem is still trying to, like, be a better person and try to, like, look out for them and try to make sure that something like that doesn't happen again. And, like, just because Vash has all this, like, hatred for what happened, like, killing her isn't the answer. It's just a very, like, effective moment for, like, yeah, okay, this is the foundation of Vash's ideals and, like, you know, why he, you know, like, why Rem's ideals are so important to him and why he just does what he does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was going to say something.
Well, actually, I think he tries to kill himself first, but Rem...
Oh, right, right.
...stops him, and then he... Yeah.
Right. Anyway, do you have any more to say on the flashback, or shall we move on to the final part of the reading?
Well, yeah, I guess I'm also just seeing that page where Vash, you know, mentions, like, after he stabs Rem that, like, he feels relief and, like, I won't shed a single tear for her. And then very immediately, like, seeing the blood on his hands. And so, like, maybe that's part of it, that, like, he does have that part, those instincts and those emotions in him somewhere. And, like, he's afraid of, like, becoming that person. Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Overall, I really like this flashback. It's definitely my favorite part of the reading so far.
Yeah, I think I agree.
Oh, and there's also another line here, like, after talking about, like, the blank ticket to the future, where, like, you know, Rem is crying and just, like, don't say that you'll die. And Vash says, you know, I never would have known that when you cry, you look just like you're laughing,
mm-hmm.
which I feel like Vash having a smile on his face. Like, maybe that sort of reflected that, oh, he has a smile on his face, but internally he's just always mm-hmm. just in pain.
Right. Yeah, I did think about that, actually. Yeah, good flashback. I definitely think I agree in that. It's my favorite part of the reading. So far. Yeah. I don't know, I said so far, I'm done with the reading.
like I said earlier, this flashback does a lot for Knives' character, and just, you know, he's not just the big threatening villain who, like, at least now we know what his motivations are. And I, like, some of the backstory with Rem and Knives is in the anime, but I definitely don't, like, this stuff is, like, 30 plus chapters, like, after the last Trigun Maximum material gets brought into the anime, so this would have come out, like, years later after it was over. But I will still be curious to go back and watch the anime and see, like, how much this sort of flashback still works to, like, contextualize the story that the anime tells.
Yeah, no, because, yeah, it's very possible that, like, you know, obviously they would have been in contact. They could have been in contact with the author. I know generally, like, there's also the case where, you know, they just sort of do their thing and they, you know, but I do wonder, you know, how much material they were given by the author, because that does happen sometimes. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah. But anyway, following that, Knives, he's prepared to start his Age of Chaos.
I like the little chapter where Vash, just kind of goes to a bar and is just like, you know, he kind of rescues these people from the townsfolk, and then they're drinking, and he's just kind of, you know, talking about his past and stuff. And I forget exactly what the send-off is, but where is it?
Well, the guy's talking about, you know, just, you know, forgetting and distancing yourself, you know, letting mm-hmm. everybody forget about you. But, you know, Vash just goes back out into the night and he's like, oh, you weren't really listening to me, were you? Where,
yeah.
You know, because Vash does need that human connection. Like I was kind of talking about earlier, I didn't think about how it tied to this discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And of course he wants to protect people. We get the spread of Knives standing on the tower with his wings and his big old knife. Like it's basically a sword at this point. Let's be real. As he's cutting off the communications, it's just, oh boy. But yeah, Wolfwood's like in a fucking 3-on-1 fight with Elendria, and then Fang and Death. I forget the full
Trip of Death.
Yes, thank you. And so I don't think it ends conclusively, but no, they just leave. And yeah, because I'm pretty sure Knives sort of steals the show, so to speak. But yeah, Vash has his face off with knives.
Yeah, it's interesting that it seems like the direction the conflict, at least it was going. I'm not sure if it'll still be the final resolution that, like, these two characters kind of have to, like, one way or another, like, assimilate into each other. And, like, because it seemed like Knives was trying to take over Vash and, like, use his strength. But, Legato runs in to break it up because Vash was actually the more powerful one.
Right, because I was even just slipped by and Knives noted how, like, Vash is closer to death because he has more, the black hair is represent, you know, blackness of death, and so, you know, you're close. So he thought he'd overpower him, but nope, that's not how it worked out. Also, I did forget, because there was a line the Eye of Michael had, where they said, like, life is harder than death sometimes, where that definitely kind of not in the way that I was bringing up last time with Wolfwood and, like, you know, the idea of, like, death to get rid of suffering, basically, but, that idea, you know, seems to have come up where it's, like, you know, that's part of why they kill, even though Wolfwood likely doesn't agree with that as he's facing them, so, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I'm at the part where Knives brings up the arc, if you have anything to say before we get there, because I just realized I went through pretty quick.
Wait, is that after the part where they, like, Knives tries to take over Vash?
Thought so. Because they don't, maybe I'm wrong.
Like, is it in Volume 8?
I just got to Volume 8, so maybe you went ahead of me.
Okay.
The arc appears at the end of Volume 7.
The arc? Did I
chapter,
just
it would be Chapter 45.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah, because he says release the arc, and then it comes out, and then at the start of, you can also see it very early in chapter 46. So, yeah. The suffering was actually in the line of the suffering was actually in that, in Volume 8. Or life is harder than death. My bad.
Hmm.
But yeah, Knives tries to argue that Vash has forgotten Tesla, but, Vash has not forgotten. He just doesn't, you know, hasn't decided to process the pain the same way. But Knives doesn't care. He's just gonna go on his crusade of violence and death and start his Age of Chaos.
Yeah, like Knives, I like the little interaction with Vash where, Knives' whole motivation is that, like, humans are relying on the plants and, like, draining them of their power and their life. But Vash is, like, takes the responsibility on both of them that, like, they wouldn't have had to exist in these shitty conditions and, you know, exploiting the plants if Knives hadn't basically stranded them and kind of, like, threw off whatever their initial plans were for, like, going to another planet.
Or calling for help from Earth, right? And,
Yeah, so Vash kind of has this attitude of, like, if we remove the conditions that lead people to do those things, then they won't do those things.
Right. I feel like this is a stopping point, so, or did you have anything more to say before we ended off with the Knives?
I see that there's a line, it just reminded me of how at one point this was kind of like a Western aesthetic that right before Knives takes out all the dudes, or maybe it's the Eye of Michael who does it, but there's like a sheriff guy who's like, some like to think this world is still lawless, but we'll teach them that the frontier days are over, which is just kind of like, you know, like the start of the manga is very much like, oh, it's a deserted, like, wasteland. So it's just kind of a real sign, I think, that, like, that whole Western aesthetic is long gone by this point.
Yeah. And even that point, yeah, because, like, yeah, it was bad before, but they make a point of showing how just, like, Knives made it even worse and complete breakdown of order, the world drying up, becoming quiet, almost like humanity is basically almost gone. So very curious as to see how that'll affect things or be presented going forward. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah, there's also, in general, it's a good conversation between Vash and Knives at the end where, you know, just in terms of like Vass saying, like, if we just remove the circumstances that cause humans to like exploit the plants, then it won't happen. And Knives is like, oh, well, did you forget about Tesla? You know, like, there was no reason for them to like do what they did to Tesla. And then he's just like angry, like, I have not forgotten. It's like, I live with that pain every single day, motherfucker.
Yep, where Knives is trying to alleviate it by killing fucking everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But, yep.
And, like, only the victims of violence can describe its essence.
Yeah, that's a good line.
Oh, yeah, and then Tesla's death, do you really want to add it to your endless chain of hate and strife?
Oh, boy, yep.
And the true battle is, like, of the heart, not against other people, I think. Something to that effect.
Yeah, no, because Knives is trying to alleviate his pain by just killing everyone, where Vash is burying it. So, yeah. Neat conflict. I'm very curious to see how it resolves. So next time we will be finished. Or did you have any final thoughts before I wrap it up? Sorry, I just jumped right into it.
No, because the last chapter of this reading is kind of just everything going to hell. There's not much in the way of, like, dialogue.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I guess that is just, like, you know, breakdown of order and, like, you know, the world is really, like, post-apocalyptic now, because even the planet they're on is, like, people dying of, like, drought and dehydration and shit.
It's gonna be so neat seeing how it all wraps up.
Yeah, I really have no idea where this is gonna go at this point. Because it's definitely beyond what I recognize as Trigun.
that's fair. That's fair. Because, like, what, there were, like, 4 chapters adapted into the anime from this reading out of 47. So, right. And you said they go in different directions with, like, Wolfwood's character, for instance. To the point, yeah, they're probably just 2 different takes on the same core idea, in a sense. Since so much of the anime was original in the first place. But,
Yeah,
definitely curious about watching Trigun one day still, and I don't imagine Maximum Part 2 is gonna, the second half is gonna affect that at all. But I'm curious to see how the conflict wraps up. We'll be reading chapters 48 through 97.
I guess one other thing I thought is just interesting reading this is that, like, I'm curious what happens with Legato in the next reading, because you know, like I said in the anime, it feels like Legato had more of a presence than Knives just by nature of how, like, what material was out at the time and the way the anime is structured. So, you know, I'm just curious to see what else changes.
Yeah, no, it's interesting, but we'll leave it for next time. Thank you, everybody, and we'll see you then.